and welcome to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media. And what a great show that we have lined up for you today. It's going to be one heck of a show. Now, we're celebrating Pride here this week in Ottawa. Well, of course, this show is recorded in Ottawa. We have the chair of Ottawa Capital Pride here with us as we talk about some of the biggest concerns facing Pride, not just here in the nation's capital, but across the whole of the country. So as we get to we'll be hearing an interview that was done with Saf, an Ottawa-based organizer, who's also on the board of a local LGBT organization, and kind of get a better sense of the environment here that's happening in the nation's capital. So we'll be listening to this, and then when we get back, we'll have some tough questions for the chair of Ottawa Capital Pride.
The LGBTQ plus community with Capital Pride. CKCU spoke to people across the LGBTQ spectrum about what Pride means to them.
So my name is Saf. I identify as a queer Black woman. Some of the things I do in and around Ottawa, I'm on the board of directors at KIND, which is the LGBT community center in Ottawa. And as well, I am a member of the collective called Queering 613. So we do a lot of grassroots organizing and events to support local organizations and grassroots organizations in Ottawa. In terms of LGBT organizing and Pride and things like that, it's very interesting. I've never actually attended the Pride Parade or any Pride festivities in Ottawa, but every year I'm at Toronto's Pride Parade and Pride festivities, and I think there's a valid reason for that, and the decision I've made to not participate in Ottawa's festivities around Pride is because I never felt that I had a space there or my community had a space there. So I sort of went and sought it other places, and I think Toronto is a great place where sort of marginalized communities are more reflected in the Pride festivities. I think Ottawa is a different city, and again, I go to Toronto sort of because that's what calls me. But I do think it's fair to acknowledge that, like, the two cities cannot be compared. It's two very different environments. Ottawa, it's very much a government city, very conservative in a lot of ways. So I think that relates to sort of the issue as to why I felt I wasn't represented. And those aspects of Ottawa sort of are reflected in things like the Pride Parade and other festivities that happen in Ottawa. So everything is sort of organized and done by folks who have the most clout and power in the city without recognizing sort of like the folks that fall within the margins. A lot has changed around Ottawa. I'm not sure if it's better. I see a lot of this, like, I guess I can't say resurgence, but a lot of gentrification happening. So it's definitely, Ottawa is becoming a different city. And I was born and raised here, and Ottawa is a city that I hold near and dear to my heart, and I always will. So this year I made the decision, my role at KIND is fairly new, and I decided that I would like to sort of help in having my community reflected in the Pride Parade. So for the first time this year, I'll be attending and also doing programming and events for Pride. It's definitely a reality that, like, folks from many communities feel excluded from Capital Pride festivities or anything that happens in Ottawa in general. And I think the best thing to do is find a safe space to express your concerns. Express your concerns to your friends, to your networks, and then just sort of mobilize people and see what you can do. And I think that in terms of Pride, KIND is a very safe space for people of color. And that is something that is a center and a space that you can come to and express your concerns regarding Pride. And also the collective I'm a part of, Queering 613. Definitely we're down to hear those concerns, although, like, I'm not at all affiliated with Capital Pride. But I think that sometimes we want to do something about it and we want to feel included, but it seems like a very hard process to sort of express yourself in that way. So it's just sort of like finding people and not just trying your hardest not to let it get to you and sort of have a hopeless feeling of, well, there's nothing for me here, so I'm just gonna not participate, because I've been there and sort there are things that you can do about it. It's just a matter of speaking to it about other folks who are willing to listen to you. If other cities sort of came down here and showed their support for communities that are not typically represented very well in Capital Pride, that would be really great. Pride means a lot to me. Pride means celebration. Pride means remembering. Pride, in some ways as well, means freedom to me. And that is because it's who I am in terms of me being a queer Black woman is not something that I felt that I can celebrate openly every day. And so when Pride rolls around, it's a time where I feel I've grown to a place where I feel it's safe for me to sort of celebrate who I am and this part of me. So that's what it means to me. And sort of on a more historical level, the Pride originally started as a riot, right? So in New York City in the 1980s, trans women of color and a lot of Black LGBT folks, right, started a riot at the Stonewall Inn, right? And sort of that was where we saw like the foundation of like what we know today as a Pride movement. And I think that, like I said, I love to celebrate who I am and things like that, but I also think that that part of Pride has been lost. And the fact that these are the people who laid the foundation for this and their presence in Pride is being lost, and directly and indirectly they're being excluded from Pride parades, and Pride parades are becoming Pride parades could be seen as like unsafe for them, right? And it's a lot of it has become this corporation driven celebration type thing, right? So, yeah. So again, like I'm all down for celebrating and, you know, the colors and the parade and everything like that. But I'm also down for like educational pieces as to like why we're here today and what Pride looked like back in the day, you know. And I think that for me, when celebrating Pride, that's always at the back of my mind and always something that I try to remember. One of the best times I have all year round is at an event called Blockorama. So this is an event that happens in Pride Toronto every year. It's sort of like a huge area closed off with a big stage. And it's basically like Afro-Caribbean Pride in Toronto. So it's like Pride for Afro-Caribbean folks. And I love it. And it's something I look forward to every single year. And I think what makes it great is that they have local artists from the community performing, and they bring people from around the world to perform. So the last 2 years they had a soca artist. So soca is sort of like a genre that's indigenous to the Caribbean. And as I've mentioned, usually like there's a lot of homophobia and things like that in the Caribbean. So I love existing as both a queer person and a Caribbean person at the same time. And sort of being in that space just like allows me to like be my full self, right? So I think that Blockorama is like the highlight of all Pride events in my life every year. Being proud of my identity is not something that has been like so far in my 23 years of life, like a lifelong thing for me. And it's more recently that I'm very proud of my identity and all aspects of my identity, right? So being queer, being Black, being a woman, I'm proud of it all. And those identities are me, and they're not all separate. So my intersectional self is who I am. And I'm so proud of it. And I'm so proud of my communities, and how we exist so openly, and how sort of a lot of times our existence is resistance. So we're just living to survive, and we're fighting every day. So I'm generally just really proud of who I am, and I'm excited for life and to continue doing what I'm doing.
Let's go into the forest and menstruate on a stick. Look, there's a drum circle. Maybe we could join in. Let's go down to the fire pit, roast some tofu dogs. Maybe some dykes in a tent will have some beer. We're lesbians in the forest. Let's go to the S&M tent and learn how to fist fuck. We can do whatever we want, 'cause this is a man-free zone. Except for the guys who empty the chains, we don't call them Johns. Here at the Michigan Women's Festival, we worship the goddess. We're lesbians in the forest. Everybody with a frightening body walk around naked. Why do women grow facial hair? Why do I have to look at that? No offense to anyone who's transitioning. Oh, fuck, there's my ex with her new girlfriend. Buddy, you are so much hotter. You're Ellen's ex, Katie's ex, Leisha's ex, Portia's ex, the Indigo's ex, Jody's ex, my ex, 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 his ex. We're lesbians in the forest.
No X key score, this is a forest, same-sex schmorgasbord. Fuck a Greek chorus, I swore this would be a dinosaur weekend. Dyke beacon, hair Mohican, I diddle a woodland fairy, whittle my woody scary, middle of me is hairy, middle of me is dairy. Nymphs, fairies, witches, not a cock in sight, 'cause sisters are doing themselves all night.
Yeah, lesbians in the forest.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media. And that was Carol Pope. I do apologize for the dropping of the F-bomb halfway through that song. It managed to slip by me, and I didn't realize that was in there. So my apologies for anyone who may have taken offense to that particular profanity. Although, to be honest, bearing in mind the content of the rest of the song, I would be surprised if if that happens. But we are thrilled. I have both Tammy here, who is the chair of Ottawa Capital Pride, joining me. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm tired. It's day four, and I'm already dragging my butt from all the events. But we still got another 3 days up, and tonight, of course, is the drag pageant, so we're really excited about that, and yeah, lots more after that, another 3 days beyond.
It's gonna be very busy. And then we also have Jake, one of our co-hosts, in the other studio. How are you doing, Jake?
Not too bad, yourself?
Excellent. Do you want to just quickly keep saying hello?
Hello.
And again
hello.
Okay,
hello.
And again hello. Okay, there we go. All right, I figured out which mic you're on.
Oh wow.
Okay. Well, there's three mics actually. Just a second, we have someone on the phone. Just hello.
Apparently we have a call in.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Just a second. Can you call back? There we go.
Was it about the F-bomb?
No, it was not about the F-bomb. Somebody called the on-air line and it was a completely unrelated phone call. Happens sometimes.
No doubt looking for parking on Carleton campus like
oh
I was.
Oh my gosh, parking here is ridiculous.
It's a unicorn.
It really is. It's very difficult to find, that's for sure. Now, we did have a number of guests lined up for the show earlier, including Saf, who we did hear in the interview earlier in the show. And I want to do a thank you to Adela, who is at CKCUFM in Ottawa, for doing that interview. Very much appreciated for that. And Adela was speaking a lot, not Adela, sorry, Saf was speaking a lot to belonging in the community and seeing a sense of belonging. Now, I know that we'd sent you some of these questions, and of course, you know, it's difficult to have the conversation when the folks we were expecting to be here were unable to make it.
Yeah, it is hard.
But yeah, so essentially one of the things that really is on everybody's mind is the Black Lives Matter movement in Toronto, Vancouver, even St. John has been asking for the police not to be in the parade. And I know it's come up here in Ottawa where, you know, the question has been asked to yourself and to Pride as a whole, you know, how do you strike the balance between, you know, making something safe for folks? Of course, Ottawa had that incident last month with a gentleman who was sadly lost his life in a altercation with the police. You know, so there is some recent memory here in Ottawa. But how do you balance the folks in the Black Lives Matter movement who would not like to see the police at the parade with police who want to be able to show their pride?
I'm not sure we're going to be able to achieve the balance they want this year. Timing is everything. And for us, 4 days out from the parade, to demand any kind of action of anybody in our parade, much less the police, is going to be challenging. I think that we can say that this year, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do anything on their demands with the uniforms. Definitely we have, you know, left it with the police that they are to express themselves as they are and in whatever way they feel comfortable. Because that's actually the mandate of the parade. The entire philosophy, a mandate, if you will, of Pride is to express yourself as you feel comfortable. And, you know, when we start down that slope of telling people how they should appear or how they should present in the parade, it's a slippery one. And, you know, we've had feedback from the trans community, in particular, who have said that when you start using the language of setting a standard for how to appear, that it's one that triggers them, and that was the exact language that I was given this morning in an email from Zelda, who was a former parade marshal. And she said that language triggers her and makes her feel fearful once we start taking direction from other parade participants and how other parade participants should appear. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a much broader, more challenging conversation than that, but sometimes you have to simplify it and realize at the heart of it, it is about expression. And we want everyone to feel safe. We have taken conversations that we had last year. And I want to remind everyone, our current organization has only been in existence for 18 months. And we can only answer to our own track record of the last 18 months. And last year, it was positioned to us, the biggest concern at that time was about trans rights. And I think we've done an amazing turnaround on allowing their expression. This year, we did last year, you know, by allowing the gender mosaic float out front and center. But this year, with the theme, and you know, obviously with the choosing of our grand marshal, and we did that, you know, in 1 year. But it was a conversation that started last year, and it takes time. Pride is a large moving vehicle, and Capital Pride, a large moving vehicle as well. And it's not easy to turn on a dime or to change mindsets affected by Pride. So, you know, we're going to definitely take everything that was presented to us this year and see how we can improve it towards making safer spaces for all for next year. You know, we even looked at the dialogue last year about the fact that there were people who didn't feel safe nor had options when it came to being in and around alcohol. We had performers that would not perform in our beer gardens last year because they didn't want to be in that space. And we were short-sighted. We didn't provide that space last year. So this year we created an entire separate stage for called the Fresh Zone. And it is for those in recovery, families and youth, and those who don't want to be in and around alcohol, including our performers that make those choices and feel safer that in that space. And that's a huge change again. And I'm not sure there is another Pride actually that has a non-alcoholic main stage, but we do. So again, conversations that started last year are being acted on this year, but it can't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. We can't.
And I know that there's a lot of political will around the Black Lives Matter mm-hmm. movement. It really gained momentum recently. And, you know, as Saf was saying earlier that, you know, she doesn't like to go to Ottawa Pride, but rather go to Toronto Pride because there was more of a sense of there were more events there and more of a sense of welcome, I suppose, yeah. From the community, with Blockorama being mentioned as one example. And I think that dovetails quite nicely into some of the other questions we have. Mm-hmm. Me and Jake were actually at the family picnic yesterday. And we were talking about representing very much this topic mm-hmm. with some folks actually from Pride. And we were talking about, you know, how can you create events such as Blockorama, which is a big key event in Toronto, by empowering communities or by giving them the tool sets. How can you do that without being colonial and kind of being like, no, this is how it ought to be done, but also not like hanging them out to dry? You know, how are you encouraging people who aren't maybe privileged and white to put their own events together?
Well, actually, the family picnic is a great example of how we do community partner and support people who want to have control over their own events. I think, and again, I can only speak to the current, you know, 18-month-old administration for Capital Pride. We have gone to great lengths to provide infrastructure for those who want to participate in the Ottawa Pride Festival. We are not inclined to dictate to anyone how they should present their events. The family picnic is one that has existed for a while, but Ten Oaks entirely does all the programming for that. Two sponsors help with the food and the preparation of the food and service in that area. But Ten Oaks has complete and utter control over their event and promoting their event, and we obviously help promote that event as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an excellent example of collaboration and providing safe space. But it is a collaboration. And I would love to see that sort of dynamic expressed everywhere, but you have to work with us and you have to dialogue with us and you have to be clear on what you want. And then basically we help you make it happen. Some of the people who signed on to the Facebook page letter yesterday are more than aware, and we have offered that collaboration and that offer of infrastructure. It's disappointing for us to see some of those names on the list because those are people that we do and currently collaborate with. And I think that they're probably aware that there's very little we can do at this moment in time when it comes to police uniforms. But there are people on that letter that directly benefit from our efforts and our support. And we have no desire to tell people how to do their events. All we ask that people do events that are obviously within the law. Mm-hmm. That's always a good thing. But we're there to support. And, you know, by doing the Pride Guide and, you know, exposing and advertising the community events, that's our support. But we also are there to offer the infrastructure and help open doors that may be closed. That's the current Capital Pride's approach to things, and anybody that's currently working with us knows that that's the way we operate. And we're not there to dictate how people do their events, and we would love to help establish something like a Blockorama in Ottawa, but you have to dialogue with us, and you have to tell us well in advance of what you need, and then we'll try and make it happen. That's what we do.
I know that we were having the conversation yesterday as well about mm-hmm. The Vietnamese community, and how they're maybe not self-organized enough, or in particular the LGBT Vietnamese folks, who are, you know, there are people, but there isn't maybe a sense of actual community. Did you want to recount some of that conversation?
Well, I feel like in terms of what Tammy said so far about Pride, I agree. It's a main problem. It's just with how young the organization is, and how you have to react to this, like have incremental changes instead of having instant change. But at the same time, you spoke a lot about giving infrastructure and resources to marginalized communities to organize this event. But like, I feel like some part or like some marginalized communities don't have the people or like the activists to actually push this forward and use those infrastructures. So I was wondering if there's any event or anything you have done towards creating like a drive or interest from the LGBT community of that specific marginalized community.
It has been made known to us. And again, we definitely have a huge growth curve, which is more like a straight line up some days. that because we are in the position of privileged, and that's a quote from somebody else, that it is up to us to do more outreach and approach organizations and tell them that we are there for them. And we did do that this year. And some of those organizations chose not to be aligned with Capital Pride. We started a dialogue specifically in and around education. And again, I'm not going to name the organizations because they know who they are. And in the very recently, only in, say, the last month, they decided to not work with us because of the entity that we are and because they didn't feel that their values were in line with us. They didn't communicate that with us until the last minute. As far as other multicultural organizations, those of diversity, we have done outreach and there has been some progress, particularly with the Muslim community. But again, it's, you know, we need specifics on what is needed. We can't dictate to you what you need. We need a list so that we can be A, sensitive, and B, constructive, and C, useful, what's the word I'm looking for? Efficient in delivering and meeting expectations. But we do need some dialogue back and forth. And, you know, for us, what we're trying to do is listen. I think that's the most effective thing we can do, but we also need to hear from people. And if someone doesn't think that their voice is at the table enough, which we know there's a lot of voices not at the table, we would love to hear from them, because you're right, there's a lot of those communities that don't have anyone out front advocating for them or haven't presented themselves to us. And we need to hear from them desperately. And anyone I think has dealt with us and is being truthful about it knows that we are having those open conversations now. But we also understand that our position is to listen at this point. I think that's the most effective thing we can do. And then use those takeaways from those conversations or those moments of listening to effect change.
I think that's a lesson that can be adapted to all prides across the country. Mm. Of course, the demographic makeup of a pride in Lethbridge is going to be very different from, maybe not that different from maybe Eastern Passage, but it's going to be very different from Montreal or Toronto or Ottawa. And I think everyone has to reflect their own communities. Ottawa has one of the largest populations of Inuit folks from south of the Northern Territories, and you know, so we have to reflect that demographic reality. And I know that you've done a lot of work on terms of, for example, the alcohol-free stage was a direct result of some pressure there being, you know, there's a high rate of addictions in that community.
Well, it was actually a Aboriginal drumming group last year that they showed up at the beer garden and they couldn't perform and they chose not to perform. We took no offense. It was an oversight on both sides. Mm-hmm. But we respected their choice and, again, made a stage this year that, you know, would include them if they chose to, you know, appear. Again, dialogues last year and the change affected this year.
And I think that's really the big takeaway I think that we can take at the moment is the importance of having those conversations. As Jake was saying, you know, there are communities of people that exist who may not be rallying around one particular point or one particular person. And I think that puts you in a very difficult position. Like, how do you engage with a community that isn't engaging with you? Or how do you find them without kind of treading all over what they're already doing?
Well, I was told by one individual who's of the Indigenous community, two-spirited non-binary, that the best way to engage is to go to their events, and that makes obvious sense. And there has been engagement in that way, and that members of our board go to events for Indigenous communities, vigils, gatherings that are voicing concerns. so, you know, it is up to us to attend those events, and we understand that. I went recently to an incredible anti-oppression training that was put on by Aquarian 613. The facilitator was incredibly impressive. And it was eye-opening, and it was painful. It was painful to understand the violence that we have put upon our POC community merely by using parts of, culture without crediting mm-hmm. where we get, these culture items from. Words, simply by talking instead of listening. It was beautiful, and it was painful at the same time to sit in that room. And it was clear to me that they were offering us to share a space in a space that was not 100% safe for them at that point. And it was hard to hear, but I also completely respected that. And I don't know where or how it's going to happen that we can be all in the same room and people of color feel safe to express their concerns. But I would say anybody who is an ally, if you are in those spaces, the best thing you can do is just listen. This is not your space to have conversation, to express yourself. If our community of color is expressing itself and giving you an opportunity here, then shut up and just listen, because that's what's needed.
I think that dovetails very nicely into the song we've chosen by D-Bi and the 333, which is Black Lives Matter. I assume they'll be performing on the main stage on Sunday. And we'll be back just after this with some conversations around sponsorships at Pride. And in the for the sake of transparency, CKCUFM, where this episode is being recorded, is a media sponsor for Capital Pride. Anyways, we'll be back just after this.
In a cafe on a Tuesday, I'ma turn to the waiter, I'ma say, waiter, come ya, don't you serve me another beer, wash away these tears and drown my fears, make my spirit fly up in the air, cause me dear, me no want to be here no more, me no want to be here no more, my friend Johnny, pump with a bullet right in a M head last week for a traffic ticket, police brutality. Black lives matter, matter. Black lives matter, matter. Black lives matter, matter. Black lives matter, matter. Thank you.
The black body's criminalized, the black body's demonized, black body's victimized, black body's ostracized, black hypersexualized, black hypersexualized. Like Natasha and Sophia and Tamir, Michael, Langwill, Sandra Bland, Sandra Bland, Sandra Bland. We cannot live without our lives. We cannot live without our lives. We cannot live without our lives.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media. I'm just trying to put my headphones back on. I keep getting random phone calls. It's very bizarre. Yes, anyway.
Full moon.
Yeah, I know, almost. I mean, if you want to phone in and talk about the actual topic that is being discussed.
Not parking,
etc. Absolutely. Want me to transfer him to somebody? To be honest, I don't know how to transfer on this. Oh, it says on the button.
How to transfer.
There we go.
Okay.
Anyway, never mind.
Squirrel.
More, you know.
Let's keep going.
That was Black Lives Matter, or hashtag Black Lives Matter, from, is it DBI?
I'm not the person to ask. I'm 52 okay. plus.
You know. Okay. And the 333. And they will be performing in Ottawa. But you can check them out online. Great Canadian act, I think. So, yeah, definitely worth looking into. Yeah, this has been a bit of a whirlwind of a conversation, yeah. And I think there's lots of things that we still have to talk about, because, of course, over the past couple of months, so many questions have been raised.
Yes.
You know, and there's things that I want to touch on in terms of, you were saying about dictating who can wear what at the parades, and I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe we should move on from that, just in the interest of covering some of the other topics.
Absolutely.
That was outlined.
We wanted to talk about sponsorship.
I did, yes.
Let me help you here.
I'm trying to get to that. Get to that question. We have them all written down.
Oh, good.
So one of the initiatives announced from Pride was getting businesses to display their rainbows, or raise their rainbow.
Raise the rainbow.
People have criticized companies in the past from cashing in on Pride, especially major international companies. They'll slap a rainbow font on their logo,
yep.
and they'll call
trying
it a
day. Trying to cash in on the pink dollar.
Yeah. Absolutely. Without doing any substantive change or substantive effort to help the LGBT community. Now, how is Pride reconciling that critique with this initiative of raising the rainbow?
Something that, and again, you know, our new organization, we're very engaged, but we're not very flashy with talking about the great things that we're trying to change about Pride. And just for the record, when I talk about changing Pride, I don't want to take away from what the previous organization did for 30 years. I think that they did a great job. I think it grew so fast in a very short amount of time that it was hard to keep up with what was needed. So I never want to, you know, when I talk about what we're doing now, disparage the previous organization. But
just for clarity for folks out of the province, the previous Pride organization declared bankruptcy in 2014. And you are the new organization that's been here for 18 months.
So often when we say new Capital Pride, people get a little exasperated, but it really, we do need to distinguish, even though we kept the name, and that's because it's our history. Our legacy, mm-hmm. good or bad, is what it is, and it is Capital Pride. When it comes to engaging our sponsors, there have been some great examples of sponsorship engagement, not just by giving us a check and walking away. They actually are very engaged in the community and doing sort of what we call co-sponsorship organization. For instance, the picnic, again, that you referred to yesterday, and I will not say the sponsors' names because we don't want to give them anything extra, I suppose. But the fact of the matter is that there are a lot of them that do active engagement throughout the festival and throughout the rest of the year in providing benefits, if you will, to the community. It's just that a lot of the times it's not acknowledged, it's not talked about. You know, I'll give a, you know, a quick shout out to Loblaws, for instance. Loblaws has done, not just for Capital Pride, but for community partners throughout the festival and after the festival, has been generous in donating product, which, you know, is much needed. They do a lot of good work in our community, and I don't, you know, we don't sit there and wave their flag all the time, so to speak. TD, again, another shout out, but TD is not just here in Ottawa, it's right across Canada and also into the States. They support Pride organizations in, I think, the largest role that any national bank has ever done, and they continue their good deeds throughout the year. They don't just give us money for the, you know, the infrastructure of Pride. They do so much more, and again, we're not flashy about it. They're not flashy about it, because it would seem gratuitous to constantly talk about what they're doing. So it's very hard to manage that. But I will tell you that we are moving forward with asking our sponsors to do more than just give us a check. We've already engaged in conversations with Nordstrom's, where we said, look, we don't want you just to give us a check and walk away. We want to actually see more. We want you to do more. We want to you to integrate more fully in the festival. Mm-hmm. We want to see your volunteers at events. We've said that to other partners as well. Like, we don't want to just see a check and walk away. We actually want to see you get in there and get dirty, so to speak, with the rest of us and be part of our other festival events. And, you know, the Pride Picnic is one of those examples where you have a couple of sponsors working together to do good deeds, but allowing the organization that benefits the most complete and utter ownership of the event. And that's what we want to see more throughout the festival. But throughout the rest of the year, yeah, absolutely. We want to see more. We want to see a commitment. A lot of our major partners, though, do have diversity programming within their organizations, as well as all of the city departments at you know, Ottawa. For instance, like paramedics, you know, they're not necessarily a sponsor, but they do give us services. And they were also the first one to fly flag. So there's lots of people, community partner and sponsor, that are doing these things. And yes, they will be held more accountable to those things in the future. But again, all good things in time.
I'm glad you mentioned Loblaws, because I think the Loblaw company exists all across Canada. And I think it's like they have like 50 different brand names that they operate under in terms of the stores. And I think that that's a very real example of how a company can be supportive, but also in a very real way. You know, if you're doing a community picnic to create a sense of community building, and the family picnic was with so many families with young children, you know, and being able to go and get a veggie burger or a hot dog
for free,
absolutely. Yeah. You know, feed your family of four and
people asked us, there were people there that were holding money when they were picking up their hot dogs, and like, well, where do we pay? And I said, well, you give a donation to Ten Oaks. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, and like, because people were walking off the street, they were just coming from all directions. But there was no signage for Loblaws anywhere. They didn't take any credit on that whatsoever. People asked, and we definitely mentioned it, but very, very downplayed as far as their role in that picnic.
And I think that's a good example of where people can take the lead or take the example. I think I always like the example of Skittles, and I think this is great, because Skittles really exemplified the point I'm trying to make. And also, like, in many ways. Okay, so I'll tell you what happened. In London, they were a sponsor for the London Pride Parade. Yes. And what they said was, in a big press release, that, you know, the Pride flag, or the rainbow flag, is supposed to be representative of the LGBT community. And, you know, this is their moment in the spotlight. And it's not for the Skittles to kind of detract from that. So they made all the packaging black and white. And took the rainbow off.
Wow.
I mean, it's totally a gimmick. And it was definitely like a marketing move.
Good one, actually.
But it's
impressed.
One that, you know, they essentially capitalized on the critique of capitalism, which is kind of meta in a way. But yeah, no, that was...
It's like a backhanded compliment or
I
something.
I know, it's like, thank you, I think. Okay. Yeah, black and white Skittles. So on that occasion, you didn't get a taste of the rainbow. At least from the Skittles, anyway, that's for sure. But I think... It's interesting. Saf, in the earlier interview, was talking about the gentrification of Ottawa. And this is a situation that's echoed all across the country, of villages becoming more expensive to live in. And folks who can't afford it having to go to the margins. And we actually saw that yesterday at the picnic, where, Jake, you noticed that you were the only Asian that you could see.
Oh, yeah.
And then we saw one other Asian.
Yeah, two Asians in the whole park.
But then we told him that he was the best Asian, so it was okay.
I guess.
I missed that contest.
But the idea being that because it was located in Hintonburg, which is an affluent area of the city, had it been located in maybe like the Walkley area or out in Vanier, you know, where different, more diverse populations live. But at the end of the day, you're right, it was Ten Oaks that was leading that when they made that decision.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a great question. I think maybe Ten Oaks can reconsider their location and put it elsewhere. But again, it would be their call.
Absolutely. And I think this is something that people tend not to consider. You know, if you're hosting an event for Pride, where are you hosting it? In which community are you hosting it? Are you hosting it in, you know, Wellington, which is MPs and the Prime Minister living there, or you're hosting it in, you know, Farhaven, where there's more of a suburban.
Canada actually had a Canada Pride last
they
year.
They did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't heard anything about it this year, but they definitely had a Canada Pride. You know, there is a, I agree. I think that it would be great to do more outreach, and we do want to. And I think that, again, our community partners, it really is up to them in some ways to create those events. And again, we'll be gladly to support them. We would love to do a signature event that would more benefit our community of color. But again, what shape and size that takes and what's most relevant, again, has to be told to us. Because I feel like if we do something, it would be ineffective unless we have those voices at the table. And, you know, we've also been told, and we put out an open letter to the community yesterday on our social media platforms that said that we commit to getting more of those voices at the table, on the board, and in operations. You know, we want those voices there. Obviously, we haven't done an effective enough job to get them there and expressing. But we do need to have some direction how to best communicate with our POC community. Because we did do, we made some efforts, but obviously they weren't good ones or not effective ones. But it is definitely our desire to have more of the voice at the table. People want to be on the board. And again, we'd love to have the voices on the board. We always feel like we have to tell people the board meetings are really boring, but you can be there. But, you know, if you are interested in writing policy, if you're interested in helping us with bylaws and the overall vision of, you know, Pride as a platform in Ottawa, that's what we do there. It's not flashy, it's not exciting, and darn it, it is boring some nights. And their meetings are long. But if you want to commit to doing that kind of change, that kind of process, great. If you want to engage in our, you know, festival operations to create events that reflect our community's needs, then that's where you need to sign up for operations when we put out that call. This year, we put out the call for board members starting in January, and we had to actually, we didn't, you know, bring our last board member onto the board until April. It took us 4 months to actually fill the 15, you know, positions. And then when it came to operations, again, that went right till the end of June to find people. And even then, we didn't fill all the operations positions, which, you know, reminds me, please, if you want to volunteer Pride, feel free to sign up. We still need bodies for this weekend. But, you know, there's a place to engage. And if you want to, you know, physicalize your engagement through events, then operations is where you should be. And we welcome your voice there. But if we don't know about you, we don't know what we're supposed to do. So, you know, we do need people to make themselves present and to let their interests be known as well, alongside of our own efforts to listen more clearly. There. What's the next question there, Luke?
No, well, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think this is a lesson to be learned, not just for here in Ottawa, but across Canada, that if you want to see yourself reflected in the organization, you know, I think organizations can do things to kind of make themselves more accessible, more of a safe space, but also taking the initiative to reach out. And it's important to realize, you know, being on the board of directors is a commitment.
It is.
It is a commitment that maybe if you work two jobs, it might not be possible, but there's always other opportunities. Often subcommittees are structured.
Yes.
Work is usually done online by email.
Yeah. One of the challenges also I want to highlight with being on the board, and this is something we ran into, that we had some people of color who wanted to be part of the board, but they were not out in their respective communities. Mm. And unfortunately, when you're on a not-for-profit board, you as a director have to be named in the paperwork, and your name will appear in the minutes. But there are positions for people who can be on subcommittees. They would be non-voting, but that is a way for them to be, you know, a participant, but not have to disclose their name and identity on the not-for-profit papers. so that was one of the challenges we did have. But yes, we are growing, and we will have more subcommittees moving forward. So again, anybody who wants to affect that kind of change at that level, which is in policy and bylaw, please feel free to join the board. It's not action-oriented, but it is effective. Again, if you are a more action-oriented frontline kind of person, I think operations is where you want to be.
Absolutely, and I think that echoes across the whole country in terms of people who want to see things and get things done, mm-hmm. then talk about how they can create the events. And for folks who want to kind of affect the vision and the mission and kind of the mandate, then there's a space for them as well. And I
Absolutely.
Think it's important that that we note that. One thing now before we go, and I wanted to talk about QueerCon. But
yes,
I'm not
tomorrow.
Sure we have enough
time. Oh, I think we should be talking about
okay.
it because it's tomorrow. Okay. It's the queer comic book convention, design, cosplay, you name it. And we have some very good exhibitors and people presenting. I can't speak to all the names because I'm not of that community, but I do know that our festival producer and assistant festival producer and our curators, Marie Bilodeau, has been doing some incredible work to make for a great presentation. It is our first. I'm sure it will not be perfection out of the gates because it's something we want to grow. And I think it's actually something that eventually is going to outgrow the festival in terms of interest and size. But we're excited about it. We're excited to try. And, you know, which I always tell people is more than what anybody else is doing. So we ask people, please, you know, I think that the entrance fee is, what is it, $5, $10? I'm not even sure. It's not very much.
Yeah.
But you're getting a lot of value for that. And, I, you know, it all goes directly towards benefiting the people who are actually, you know, participating at the event. And yeah, I think everyone should be there. I think as many people that are interested in that part of our community, our queer community, should be present.
And one of the question I really have for this is what drove the inspiration for it? You know, you're saying that, you know, this is Pride trying something new. What made Pride choose a comic convention over a different type of event?
Because it appeals to the queer community. And, you know, there are people who identify as queer and some people don't in the community, but is the queer community, I think, is the most frontline active. And we are told at one point not feeling very engaged or represented at Pride in terms of events. And that was exactly the impetus. So we said, okay, what would be the queerest thing we could do? Just like, hey, a queer comic book convention. And we got so much feedback on that. And we thought, okay, people really want this. We're going to make it happen. And that's exactly how that started. And that was a conversation last year.
Absolutely. So if you want to affect change, talk to your Pride organizers. And maybe give it a year. Give it a year. And
give us feedback. Fill out our
Absolutely.
Surveys.
And we're going to play out with Dinah Thorpe, who is also, I believe, Canadian. Canadian, yes. Mm-hmm. Canadian. And will be at the Auto Pride. And this is Let Your Light from the album Let Your Light. And we will be back next week where we are actually talking about how race and HIV intersects in the Asian and Southeast Asian communities. So if you're in Ottawa, happy Pride. If you're in the rest of Canada, I hope you've had a great Pride in your respective cities and towns. And we'll be back just next week.
Thanks.
Let it shine on me. Let your light from the lighthouse shine on me, shine on, let it shine on, let your light from the lighthouse shine on me, my love, she's done just what she said. Let your light from the lighthouse shine on me. Hear the sip and raise the dead. Let your light from the lighthouse shine on me.
I know I got the spirit, I ain't the same. Let your light from the lighthouse
let it shine. Let your light from the lighthouse shine on me. Shine on, let it shine on. Let your light from the lighthouse shine on me.
Mic check. Mic check. Mic check. Mic check. Does the moon follow the same path the sun does? And if so, then who follows whom? If I can't find the path to fund us, will we get swallowed soon? It's cold and it's hard and it sits right here. It's angst, it's courage, it's panic, it's fear. Sets like silicone but molds like acrylic. Whether to nurture, whether to kill it. Whether to nurture, whether to kill it.
Let your light.